Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maximilian Schöberl, Director of Corporate Affairs. I would like to welcome you all to today's telephone conference for the third quarter and first nine-month results. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, our CFO. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you an update on the business performance during the first nine months of 2012. Dr. Eichiner will then take you through our financial results for the third quarter and the first nine months of the year as well. Afterwards, we will have time for a Q&A session. Mr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We at the BMW Group have set ambitious targets, and we will pursue these targets with determination, also in a volatile environment. Today, I would like to begin my remarks with a brief personal assessment of the current situation. On the one hand, there are positive factors. We are the world's leading premium car company. We remain profitable and continue to build on a strong financial foundation. With BMW i, we are pioneering the way toward sustainable individual mobility. All of these factors are key elements in our strategy leading up to 2020. On the other hand, even with these strengths, we have to be realistic. We have to acknowledge that we are all facing dramatic challenges and uncertainties in the global economy today. Our business environment is becoming increasingly tough. Growth is slowing down in many countries, significantly so in some cases. Consequently, competition is stepping up further. Risks are increasing. CO2 emission targets across the globe are extremely ambitious. However, we remain cautiously optimistic. We will continue to chart our course the BMW way. We had a strong third quarter. We achieved new record performances in terms of sales, revenues, pre-tax result, and group net profit. Following the first 9 months of the year, we are on track to meet our targets for 2012. And we deliver on our promises. So, what did we achieve from January to September 2012? An EBIT margin in the automotive segment of 10.9%. A pre-tax result of over 6 billion euros. So we maintained the high level achieved during the same period last year. A group net profit of more than 3.9 billion euros. This too is about on par with the previous year's high result. The attractiveness of our products and services is the basis for this success. In the first 9 months of 2012, over 1.33 million customers bought a BMW Mini or Rolls-Royce car, an increase of 8.3%. Never before have we sold that many cars within this period. And we aim to grow further. This is why we are planning and acting with great foresight. We are setting clear priorities internally, and we are investing today in our success of tomorrow. In 2007, we launched our corporate strategy. This built upon efficient dynamics in our approach to resource-efficient production. Together, all of these elements form the foundation of our current success. As we did in 2007, we are again looking ahead and realigning the entire company to meet future demands. What does this mean? We are investing first in new technologies, second in established and new facilities as well as in mature and growth markets, third in our brands and sub-brands, and fourth in new services and offerings for our current and future customers. To the first point, new technologies. 2013 will be all about revolution, the start of serious production of BMW i. We will bring sustainable mobility to the road. We consider electric mobility a technology with the potential to achieve emission-free sheer driving pleasure. Through this revolutionary approach, we can draw on the vast knowledge of our customers and their experiences with e-mobility. 16 million test kilometers with the MINI-E and 5 million test kilometers with the BMW Active E. The feedback from our customers is positive. Already today, the range of cars is sufficient to meet day-to-day mobility needs in urban traffic. But BMW i is far more than the electric drive. Our approach is comprehensive. Customized car concepts, new materials and processes, sustainability along the entire value chain, and innovative mobility services. We are creating a completely new world of individual mobility. We are pioneering a brand new approach to individual mobility. First, by 2020, we will have halved the CO2 emissions of our global car fleet compared to the mid-1990s, thanks to our innovative efficient dynamics technologies. Second, our BMW i production supports the change towards alternative energy in Germany and sets new global standards. In the assembly of our BMW i cars at our Leipzig plant, we will use renewable energy. We are currently setting up a wind park on the plant premises. To the second point, facilities and markets. We continue our balanced growth. Proof of this is our sales distribution in the first 9 months of this year. Following Europe, the share of sales in China, the US, Germany, and the rest of the global markets was on the same level. This balanced sales distribution is paying off, especially in a volatile environment. It reduces the risks when growth in individual markets slow down. We are also taking the BMW Group's international focus to the next level. In China, our new plant in Tiexi, which we run together with our partner Brilliance, has come on stream. In the midterm, we can produce up to 400,000 units at the Shenyang site. In the UK, we are expanding our MINI production sites, Oxford, Swindon, and Hemsall. The investment volume will total £750 million by 2015. The Netherlands, we signed a contract with VDL Netcar regarding the production of MINI cars from 2014 on. Brazil, you are aware of our decision to build a plant in Santa Catarina. This decision will entail an investment of €200 million and the creation of 1,000 jobs. From 2014 on, we will be able to produce 30,000 units a year at the new site. With this addition, our global production network will comprise 30 locations in 14 countries. Regarding the third point, brands and sub-brands, our premium brands BMW, MINI and Rolls-Royce are well known and strongly desired all over the world. In a recent customer satisfaction survey carried out by the German Automobile Association, ADAC, the BMW brand came in first, MINI third. Today, the BMW Group is a multi-brand company with three premium car brands, the two sub-brands BMW M and BMW i, plus the BMW and Husqvarna motorcycle brands. At BMW Welt, this broad range is now also presented to the over 2 million guests who visit our brand experience and delivery center in Munich every year. Since October, BMW Welt has been the showroom for all of our automotive and motorcycle brands. We also offer visitors a chance to experience the strengths of the BMW Group as a company. To the fourth point, services and offerings. The technological shift, the iconic change in the automotive industry also requires innovative service offerings that allow us to address and acquire new customer groups. Drive Now, the car sharing program we operate together with Sixt AG, already has 57,000 customers in Germany. With Drive Now, we provide innovative and sustainable mobility. This offering received the ÖkoGlobe Award in October. In summer 2012, Drive Now was also launched in San Francisco. With 70 BMW active e-cars, this is the very first full e-car fleet in premium car sharing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are shaping the future now to make sure that sheer driving pleasure will continue to be enjoyed by our customers today and tomorrow. We have a clear direction towards 2020, which includes strategic investments in cutting-edge technologies. At the same time, we remain disciplined with our costs and financial resources. Sportiness and dynamics will also define future mobility. After all, they will always be a part of our DNA. In BMW's first year back in the German Touring Car Championship, we won titles for the driver, the team, and the manufacturer. This just shows our motivation to succeed is what truly drives us as a team. This is what makes BMW. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer, and now Mr. Eichiner.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group performed well in an increasingly difficult environment. Economic growth slowed in key markets in the third quarter of 2012, especially in Europe. At the same time, volatility has increased and is likely to intensify further. After the first 9 months, sales in Europe are slightly higher year on year. Our attractive new models have strengthened our competitive position. Nevertheless, we are feeling the impact of the sustained economic downturn, which has resulted in competitive pressure. We delivered a total of almost 435,000 vehicles to customers in the third quarter, 9% more than in the same period last year. BMW Group will remain on its strategic course. We are standing by our long-term profitability targets with a focus on efficiency and cost discipline. At the same time, we will continue to invest in our future, taking action today to strengthen our competitiveness tomorrow. This long-term focus has paid off for the BMW Group in recent years. We have substantially increased our profitability since 2007, and thanks to our strategic framework, we were able to steer the company out of the financial crisis successfully and swiftly. Group earnings before taxes reached 1.987 billion euros in the third quarter, an increase of 17.6% over the same period last year. The group's return on sales for the third quarter was 10.6%. Group pre-tax earnings for the first 9 months of the year were roughly on the level of last year at 6.04 billion euros. This includes a positive effect of 124 million euros from the financial services segment. Last year's figures included positive effects from adjustments to risk provisions and re-evaluation of our leasing portfolio, which contributed a total of 524 million euros to earnings. Adjusted for these effects, group earnings for the first 9 months rose by 7.2% year on year. The BMW Group's net profit for the third quarter totaled 1.289 billion euros and was therefore 16% higher than for the same quarter last year. Now let's take a look at the individual segments. In the automotive segment, we delivered a total of 1.335 million vehicles to customers in the first 9 months, 8.3% more than in the same period last year. We achieved new all-time highs for unit sales and revenues in this segment. Third quarter revenues rose 12% year-on-year to reach 17.18 billion euros. EBIT in the automotive segment totaled 1.649 million billion euros in the third quarter. The EBIT margin for the same period was 9.6%. We are therefore on track to achieve margins at the upper end of our target range. Our earnings reflect the challenging conditions in the third quarter. Demand for premium vehicles was weaker in many European markets, and competition was intense. We responded in two ways: by adjusting production and reallocating vehicles. However, strong competitive pressure in Europe still put pressure on earnings. On the other hand, sales performed well in our two largest single markets, China and the United States, with continued growth in both countries. Overall, currency and raw material prices had a positive impact in the third quarter. Our spending on future growth projects was somewhat higher than in the previous quarters. The total amount after 9 months was in the high three-digit millions. We are investing on two levels. We are optimizing our combustion engines and at the same time pressing ahead with electric mobility and lightweight construction technologies. We are expanding our production network and investing in growing and established markets. As previously announced, upfront investments of this kind will amount to more than 1 billion euros over the full year. As a result, expenditure for research and development also increased in the year to the end of September by 14.9% to 2.964 billion euros. The R&D ratio was 5.3%. Due to future growth projects and preparations for upcoming product ramp-ups, capital expenditure rose to 2.721 billion euros through the end of September. The CapEx ratio for the same period was 4.8%. The positive business development in the automotive segment generated a strong operating cash flow at the end of the first 9 months and a free cash flow of 3.8 billion euros for the same period. As it is typically the case in the fourth quarter, we anticipate higher capital expenditures. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment benefited from our sales growth in the third quarter. More than 327,000 contracts with retail customers were concluded in this quarter. This represents a 12.2% increase over the same period last year. The total number of contracts rose by 5.4% to more than 3.745 million. The strongest growth in the Asia-Pacific and Europe, Middle East, Africa regions. In Europe, our fleet management company, Alphabet, is in a good position following the acquisition of ING Car Lease. We have grown organically in this region. The integration of the ICL Group into Alphabet is proceeding according to plan. Attractive financing conditions and solid proactive risk management also benefited the development of our financial services business. The segment generated a pre-tax profit of 425 million euros in the third quarter, an increase of 20.1% year on year. This includes a positive effect in the amount of 46 million euros from the end of lease business. EBT reached 1.29 billion euros at the end of the first 9 months. The positive effects I referred to contributed 124 million euros during this period. The penetration rate for this segment was slightly lower year on year at 39.2%. Trends in used car prices remained uneven. As expected, prices fell slightly in many European markets. We regularly anticipate risks of this kind and adjust risk provisions if needed. The credit risk situation is similar. The credit loss ratio for the year to the end of September was 0.51% and therefore within the expected range. The financial services segment fulfills our profitability requirements and is in an excellent position to face the current market challenges. BMW Financial Services France became part of BMW Bank in August. This move was carried out according to plan and will strengthen our banking business. Thanks to its solid business performance, good access to capital markets worldwide, and its excellent rating, the BMW Group is able to secure financing on attractive terms. Group liquidity remained high. Our strong liquidity position continues to serve as a buffer against sustained uncertainty and high volatility. Group liquidity totaled roughly 11 billion euro as per September 30th. Ladies and gentlemen, the motorcycle segment performed well in a weak market. BMW Motorrad achieved a new sales high in the third quarter, with a total of almost 29,000 motorcycles delivered to customers. Revenue rose to 358 million euros, also a new record for a third quarter. In the third quarter, we nearly reached break-even. In the first 9 months of the year, segment EBIT climbed 32.2% to 82 million euros. We expect this positive business development to continue. However, we are likely to face risks as a result of challenging market conditions. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to talk about the outlook for the BMW Group. We expect this positive sales performance to continue through the end of the year. However, we see risks for our business development in the fourth quarter. On the one hand, we assume that market conditions will continue to remain difficult and that competition in the premium segment could become even more intense. Weaker markets in many parts of Europe will also be a factor. Strong competition and market volatility will likely continue. On the other hand, we expect higher upfront investments for future growth projects. As in previous years, higher costs will incur in the last quarter. The topic I refer to will impact our earnings and margins despite dynamic sales growth. We remain cautious and continue to monitor developments. If conditions are worse than anticipated, we will use our flexibility to respond vigorously. However, in this case, even with countermeasures, we cannot completely rule out a negative impact on earnings. We are maintaining our guidance, assuming the situation does not change significantly. We are targeting record sales, and we are striving to achieve higher group earnings than last year. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment is also likely to be at the high end of our 8 to 10% target range. This target range also applies to margins for the following years. However, depending on political and economic conditions, EBIT margins may ultimately be above or below this range. We expect the financial services segment to maintain its positive business development in the face of increased volatility and to continue expanding its contract portfolio. We are targeting a return on equity of more than 18%. In the coming year, market forecasts indicate a further slowdown in growth with stagnation in Europe. We expect, however, our attractive product lineup to generate positive momentum and will capitalize on our opportunities in various overseas markets. The US and China are likely to remain the most important growth markets for premium automobiles in 2013. We are in excellent position in both of these markets. We remain committed to our strategic course. This will entail a high level of investments in future technologies, in markets and new business fields. It will also require additional expenditure compared with 2012 levels. We are currently prioritizing our activities and will maintain our existing cost discipline. We strongly believe that these necessary upfront investments to secure our future success will make us more competitive over the long term. The BMW Group is and will remain focused on the long term. We consistently pursue our strategy of profitable growth. It is the key to maintaining our leadership in the premium segment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Arndt Ellinghorst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Arndt Ellinghorst, Credit Suisse. I have two questions. The first one is on free cash flow. You mentioned on the press call this morning that the 8%-10% autos margin is in place for next year. Could you also confirm that your target to generate more than 3 billion euros in automotive free cash flow, which you're clearly overshooting this year, is also relevant for 2013? And the second question is a bit more strategically, and it's on net pricing. And the question is whether negative net pricing is not more structurally embedded in the premium autos business. We're now, or BMW is now, more likely ending this year 260 basis points below the pricing level of 2007. And this is despite the emergence of China and your overall more global regional setup. So why shouldn't we, or including yourself as well, why shouldn't we consider on a conservative side a negative structural net pricing of about 100 or even, you know, or 50 basis points per year? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arndt Ellinghorst. This question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger.
So, and thank you for your questions. Now, so far, we have not set up a target for free cash flow for 2013. We are in the middle of our budget discussions, and they are not yet finalized, and therefore, this is not yet established. So, we need some more time to come up with the right number for you. Now, the question about the net pricing and if it's necessary to integrate net pricing in the premium autos business. Well, my general view is that the high discounts are something that's not really is not really fitting to a premium approach in the market, because customers get used to it, and at the end of the day, it will be negative for the brand image. Things that have no value, that cost nothing, have no value. So the basic belief is that despite a small discount that is always in the game when it comes down to a purchase, higher discounts at a level we see today, especially in some thousand European markets, is nothing that is sustainable for our business. So we have to find a way to get away from it. We all know it has a lot to do with the market conditions, but as well with the behavior of competitors. I strongly believe that this is not sustainable, because they can all not live with this way of making business over the long time.
And if I may step in there again, and isn't that, I mean, I appreciate your comments, but isn't that really more wishful thinking? I mean, firstly, you will soon be selling probably more than 2 million cars a year. So the first question is, how premium is every part of BMW really still? And secondly, there will always be a lot of competition in the market, at least in the developed world. And we've seen earlier this year how extremely disruptive some pricing action of your peers can be. So I'm well aware of the general definition of premium, but isn't reality telling us a different story?
Well, my understanding is that the whole competition will have to face the same issues. And the issues are that we need high investments for our future technologies in order to meet the CO2 targets around the world. So that can only be done with a strong cash flow, with a strong free cash flow, and a solid business. Now, you give away all your margin. I don't understand if this should work out in the future. So that's why I think they all have to
come back to a more normal behavior. And I just want to remind you, we had a similar situation in 2008, where in the last two quarters in 2008, we had strong competitive pressure, markets went down, discounts went up, and then in the course of 2009 and 2010, all the competitors managed to bring it back down again. Now we have to face a new crisis in Europe, and Europe, as you know, counts for almost half of our volume, and that is due for the others as well, and that's the reason why I think we have so much pressure in the business. We have a good example, for example, in the U.S., where we don't have such a high incentive spending as we see it today in some European markets. So it can be done. That is demonstrated in the U.S. It was always the case in China, many other emerging markets. For me, the issue is really to resolve the problem in Europe.
So we can assume a better pricing next year?
Well, that would mean that we see some recovery in the European markets, and that is exactly where the risk is. We don't know whether they come back or not. If the situation stays like it is or even worsens, then I don't see much room for improvement there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Ms. Christina Church from Barclays. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, yes, it's Christina Church from Barclays. Thank you for taking my questions. Just a follow-up on Ant's question on pricing. I know you said that there was a combination of markets weakness and but also competitor actions. I was just wondering which of the two are the bigger risks in your view for 2013. You know, I know one of your key competitors is struggling at the moment with underperformance in margins. Do you think that they could become more aggressive even if the market were to recover in 2013? And then my second question relates to your technology increase spending in 2013. I know you've given guidance for 2012 of an incremental spend of around about a billion euros. Can you give a ballpark number for 2013 of incremental spending? Will it be on a similar level to 2012 or at a lower level incrementally? I know you're not giving guidance for 2013, but just some feeling for what how much more spending you need to make for new technologies. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Christina.
Well,
this will be answered
hi, Christina.
Yes.
Now, starting with the last question about the spending for incremental spending in 2013 for our future projects, I'm absolutely convinced it will be higher than this year. We have not yet fixed the final number. I refer to what I've said before. We are in the middle of our budget discussions for 2013, not yet finalized, but the expectation is that it will be higher and that the CapEx will be higher as well next year. So that is what we expect because we see now that we have to ramp up those investments in order to be prepared for 2020 targets. And now that starts now and the following 2 years. So that's the expectation for those items. On pricing. Well, I mean, it depends on what market you look at. So, for example, in Spain, we have both. Extremely weak market. Just keep in mind, it came down by 50% compared to 2007 and high sales support. All the OEMs are giving high supports in order to, maintain their network there to stabilize the dealers over there. In the U.S., that's not the case. So that's a normal picture. So far, we are quite disciplined with the incentives because we have a fresh, young product portfolio, and this will help us in 2013 as well. In China, we've been very disciplined over the last couple of years. We've got some problems in the second quarter where suddenly demand came down and there was too much already on ships and boats on the way to China. That is sorted in the meantime, and my expectation is that the pricing will improve now there. Right. And Europe, I mentioned it already, very hard to predict, very hard, because it's now the question, what should we think about Spain, Italy, France, UK, and so on and so forth. My expectation is that overall, Germany maybe is the stablest one of all, and then we have to see how the other countries are developing next year. That's really hard to predict.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Fraser Hill from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Got a couple of questions here. The first question is actually on the others and eliminations line. That came down a lot in the quarter, and I know you detailed in the statement that there was a change in the accounting policy for lease products and also a more stable environment for lease products in general. So all else being equal, is this a sort of level of elimination and others cost that we should be extrapolating from, or is there anything unusually positive in the performance or the contribution from those lines in Q3? The second question would be just looking into the fourth quarter. Well aware of the guidance to be at the top end of the 8 to 10% range, but given your commentary on unit developments in the fourth quarter, i.e. above the 8% year-to-date run rate, then you know, you've got a significant tailwind there from units. What is it on the cost side then that is going to be materially offsetting the operational gearing that you'll be enjoying from the top line beyond, let's say, the R&D pickup that you've already talked about?
Thank you very much, Fraser Hill. Mr. Eichinger, please.
Well, first, the eliminations. I mean, it clearly has to do with our leasing business, and we changed the measurement of lease products made last year. And the other issue is that our leasing portfolio now is quite stable and not growing so much, and we are benefiting from a very profitable portfolio. On both effects, at the end of the day, support the improvement within the eliminations. So those are the basic effects behind that. And then your question about Q4. In Q4, we always have annual effect, and if you look at our result in Q4 2011, 11 and 10 and 9, you can see this. So we are kind of a hockey stick effect where bills, the annual bills are paid in the last quarter, so that the costs normally go up by 200, 300 basis points, something like that. So that is something what we expect and what we know. And on top of this, we are investing in forward-looking technologies, and those investments are now increasing. That's what we disclosed and was part of our guidance. It started in Q2, Q3, and now we see more coming at the end of the year. And those are basically the major effects. Cost increase the end of the year we have all, every year, and in addition to that, investment into forward-looking technologies that make the difference.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Could I just follow up on that first answer? So you're saying that the eliminations charge or cost is something that we can broadly extrapolate on a quarterly run rate. That seems to be the message there.
Okay, I mean, as I said in the second remark, it's correlated to the leasing business. Our expectation is that the leasing business going forward will increase again. So as soon as the leasing portfolio grows again, we will see high eliminations. So that is, at the end of the day, the mechanism behind this line.
So thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I have two questions relating to your joint venture in China. When we look at the equity contribution, it looks pretty weak, what you show for the third quarter versus what we've seen in the first half. So maybe you can detail a little bit what's going on there. And secondly, when I look at your interim report and all the accounting standards that you mentioned that could take effect in 2013, and some of them also relate to consolidation issues. So I was wondering whether there's any impact on the way how you would show the Brilliance joint venture in your accounts, and whether there could be anything like a proportional consolidation or anything like that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Christian Breitsprecher, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, In the third quarter, you have to see that also in our joint venture now, we have to ramp up R&D spendings. And we have to comply with the NEV regulation there. We announced to build up a new brand, and so R&D costs are likely to be increased in a joint venture as well, and has the first implication in the third quarter of 2012. So that's the reason behind the number. But actually, your second question, there's no plan to change the accounting standard when it comes down to the consolidation.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Charles Winston from Redburn Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Charles Winston here. Just two quick questions for me. I was just wondering if you could help us in terms of looking at the revenue growth. My understanding is that the sales, the wholesale sales into the channel were reasonably ahead of your retail sales. And I was just perhaps if you give us some sort of steer or guidance as to what the scale of year-on-year growth in volumes was at the wholesale level as opposed to at the retail side of things. And secondly, just in terms of you're talking about the next year being obviously the year of the new BMW i, is there some sort of costs, or I should imagine there are costs, that was going to be associated with that launch? Are they going to be disproportionate? Should that be something we should be thinking about in terms of expected margins for next year? Are we likely to see a number of sort of one-time launch costs connected to that whole initiative? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles. Now, again, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, as you know, we are not disclosing wholesale numbers, but the general philosophy is that we are not pushing wholesale. The numbers are very, very close, but if you have to support a growing business, first you have to produce the cars, then the wholesale, and then the retail follows. There's always a certain offset in place as long as growth is expected, and as we are reporting growth in the third quarter, I can assure you October is demonstrating growth numbers as well. It's a double-digit growth rate, more than 12%. So in order to protect this growth going forward, you need to produce first more, and then the wholesale number will go up before the retail follows. But we have a clear eye on those numbers. We don't want to over-push. We have a tough and tight control of the inventory levels, so there's no reason that there is anything in this thing if I look at wholesale, retail, and production. Now, your question about BMW i. As you know, our confirmation is that we will introduce at the end of the year 2013 the new i3. There will definitely be a marketing campaign around that, but I would say that's quite normal. We have marketing campaigns now in place as well for the new product. Think about the new Touring, 3 Series Touring, and other cars that are in the marketing. That's nothing abnormal. But having said this, so far our budget for 2013 is not yet closed, so the numbers are not yet finalized, and it's hard to discuss them now. All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. It's Horst from HSBC. I've got three questions left. The first one is, again, on production. Since I see that your production has increased in Q3, versus Q2, shall we assume that the production will continue to increase sequentially in Q4 versus Q3, or will it rather decline? Then the second question is regarding the currency impact. Maybe you can quantify how high was the currency impact in Q3, and maybe you can remind us what it was in Q2. Then the last question relates again to 2013. I know you have not yet finished your budgeting, but maybe you can tell us already if you plan again to outperform the global market growth, so premium market growth next year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Horst Schneider. Mr. Eichinger.
Well, first of all, production numbers, I think they will be in a fourth quarter at a similar level as in quarter three. I mean, of course, we have to protect our growth opportunities going forward in, for Q1 2013. As we don't want to overpush in 2012 in the fourth quarter, this will be for us a reasonable level of production going forward. Now, the FX, while there's clearly a tailwind coming from the currencies, though in Q3 it was positive, it was a lower three-digit million number which supported us, and we are expecting a positive effects in the last quarter as well. And your third question was the market share discussion. I think keep in mind next year we have full supply of our new products. So we all the derivatives for the 3 Series and for Touring and so on and so forth will be introduced in the markets. We have full availability of the production capacities. So with this in mind, my assumption is that we should be in a good position to conquer some market share, but it depends on the market conditions. We are not prepared to do it for any price.
With regard to the currencies, again, follow-up question, but the positive impact is now sequentially declining, right?
That's true.
And that will be also the case in 2013? I mean, you probably have got a good overview of your hedging rates and the exposure.
Yes, that's also true.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Horst Schneider. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Philippe Barré from Société Générale. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, so good afternoon, Philippe Barré, Société Générale. Three questions. First, regarding the visibility on Q4, actually, given the orders you have and the delivery you expect, what is always coming from, actually, in terms of profitability in Q4? Does it mainly relating to pricing? As I couldn't understand that units sold should be good given the orders you have at time being. The second question is regarding the comparison year-on-year of Q4 2012 compared with Q4 2011. Actually, last year there was an important cost related to the launch of the 3 series or 1 series as well. So I assume this year there was less launch cost and actually will be positive for the profitability. And last point is regarding just the impact of the Chinese joint venture in the financial services, financial results, sorry, as there was 199 million euros profit of companies at equity. What is a part of the Chinese joint venture in the profit at equity in on 9 months or in Q3?
Philip, can you repeat the second part of your question? Is that possible?
Second part.
The second part.
Second question was related to the comparison year-on-year.
Yes.
Of course, I mean, last year there was a launch cost for the launch of the 3 series, and this year there was no major launch taking place at the end of the year. Just I would like to know if there is some tailwind regarding cost in Q4 2012 compared to 2011.
Okay, I understand. Yes, thank you, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, let's start with the first question: is the orders. So we see that the order intake for the new products is improving. That is positive. On the other hand, pricing is not improving, and our expectation is that the pricing will not be able to be improved in Q4. So let's say at least we would have to live with the existing pressure that we feel already today, and this is our expectation for the last couple of weeks this year as well. Launch costs, you're absolutely right. So we don't see extra spendings for launches in a Q4, extraordinary spendings. But having said this, just keep in mind what I already said. We have upfront investments now going up on the R&D side, on the CapEx side, in order to protect our technologies going forward. So this will have an influence influence on our profit in the Q4 as well. Though it's another category, it's not now the launch cost this time, it's more on the technology side. And the JV, well, first of all, we are enjoying a growing profit in our joint venture. In Q3, we felt some headwinds coming from expenditures for research and development cost. We have to fulfill the Chinese regulation when it comes down to NEVs, new energy vehicles. This will be reflected in the R&D cost to a certain extent. And I'm expecting a similar result in Q4 for our joint venture. So this is something I expect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It is now 10 minutes to 3. I think we have time for two additional questions. So next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Frank Biller from LBBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Actually, it's three questions I have. The one question is again on the fourth quarter and your expectations in Reuters. You gave a statement that the EBIT in absolute terms for the whole year 2012 in the auto business should be higher than last year's EBIT. This leads to roughly 1.9 billion. Is that right, or have I understood here some incorrect? The other question is on revenues per unit in the third quarter. I'm calculating roughly 40,000 euros. This is roughly 1,000 euro higher than last year in the third quarter. What are you expecting for the remainder of this year and also for 2013 in average revenue per unit? And the last question is on financial services here. You had some tailwind here coming from very good leasing business, end of lease business. Is there something coming in the next quarter or 2013 here? And what is the run rate here in financial services? Should we calculate more in the range of 300 million or even lower?
Okay, thank you very much, Frank Biller. All parts of your question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger again.
Well, first, your question about the earnings guidance. Now, our guidance was based on group profit, and we added, well, we want, I said, I wanna achieve a profit in the auto segment as well, that is on level of higher than last year, right? Now, we drill down to EBIT, and the differentiate between EBIT and EBT is a bit hard from my perspective. So overall, I assure you, we try to achieve a profit in the auto segment that is higher than last year. The reason is that we have still a strong sales momentum planned for the remaining part of the year. You see that it's reflected in our Q3 numbers already. You heard about the more than 12% growth in October, and those are the reasons behind that we think it should be possible to improve now, week by week, month by month, the result in the automotive segment as well. But, and that's what I mentioned also, it will be tough because the circumstances out there are tough for us, right? So that's how we look at it. And the guidance was based on a margin, and that we already said we should be on the upper end of our range, 8%-10%. That is something that we confirm again. So now revenue per unit, you should see that in the revenue per unit number, there is an effect as well. So currency makes contributed to higher revenue, and that is also reflected in the revenue per unit. Over the last couple of quarters, I think it was fairly stable. Of course, the regional mix has an influence, so if you have more business in China, will be higher. If they have more business in the Southern European countries with smaller cars, will be lower. But overall, I think the level is quite solid and sustainable. That it is at least our expectation, as long as nothing dramatical change, for example, on the FX side. Financial services. Well, you know, we are enjoying now quite solid financial services business, but there are two very positive effects where we have to see how this develops over time. One is the risk side. It's pretty much under control, but we all know that there's a lot of pressure in the markets outside, and this could come back as a problem that we need higher provisioning for residual value risk, and that is something we should calculate for 2013. 2013, from my perspective. Then the other side is the margin in the business. It has to do a lot with our funding and with the interest rates. And it's a question how long it's possible to enjoy such low and favorable interest rates going forward. And normally we calculate with cycles, and if the cycle comes back, then there will be pressure on the margin. So those is more or less now the background. For 2013, I think we should still be in good shape and not far away from the performance we see today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Last question, please.
The last question comes from Mr. Austin Eyre from Marshall Wace. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first is on pricing. I just wanted to understand when you were talking about pricing in Q4 of this year, were you referring to a sequential decline from Q3, or were you referring to a year-on-year decline compared to the fourth quarter of last year?
That was the first part of your question, or?
Yes.
And the second part?
The second question is on your future investments, particularly electric vehicles. I just wondered how you feel relative to your competitors, the progress that you're making in this area.
So, thank you very much for the second part of your question, because this is a question only for the chairman. And now Norbert Reithofer is also there. Norbert Reithofer, please.
I mean, you asked the question, electric vehicles, our progress compared to competitors. I mean, I can only speak for BMW. It is not my intention to compare us with our competitors. And from a technological point of view, we make really good progress. Yeah. And we are absolutely on track, and we will launch the BMW i3 end of 2013, including everything what is necessary. And I would like to add, the Project iUnit is working on questions related to mobility in the future and is developing, of course, completely new solutions for individual mobility. That means we see the BMW i3 and the BMW i8 as part of a package. And that is important that you know that. But from a technological point of view, we are absolutely on track to launch the vehicle end of 2013.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. And now Mr. Eichinger.
Well, now, your question about the pricing in Q4, so our assumption is that there will be no improvement in the fourth quarter. Actually, the hit was around 110 up to 120 basis points for Q3 year to date, I think best case is that we stabilize it at that level, but it could be that it's worsening a few basis points more in the fourth quarter, but not too much. That is our assumption actually going forward for the last couple of weeks this year.
Sorry, is it possible just to clarify on that last answer? Are you saying 110 to 120 basis points is the first 9 months?
Yes.
And that you
yes.
expect the full year to be about that level?
To be about that or maybe a few basis points worse. That is what I said.
Thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in our call today and for your questions. On behalf of the BMW Group team, I wish you all a pleasant afternoon. Thank you very much and bye-bye.